advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
What's up, people?
What's up?
I noticed that Brent has actually evolved his obsessive opening show whiskey drink.
It's just because I wanted to cheer somebody. I don't want to bother you.
Well, it's been several weeks.
I need to cheers you, but I don't want to bother you.
No, now, because he obsessively as we've said before, at Please Read From Sheets, he obsessively has to take a drink of whiskey. And now he also has to clink his glass against the bottle he's drinking out of as if to say cheers to the bottle itself, I guess, or to the gods of podcasting.
I just feel like I should cheers before I drink, and it's like it's off air, like the music's still playing. And
I think we should change our name to something not podcast. I don't like podcast. That is the worst name.
What do you mean?
It's stupid. Like it is the stupidest reference of a name ever.
Just the term podcast.
Yes.
It is pretty stupid.
Because
I mean, someone
iPod.
Like a million years ago thought it was really clever.
I mean, it's iPod. iPod is a horrible
name. It's an iPod, but it's a broadcast, so it's a podcast. Get it, guys?
I never
but you're
thought
not,
of that.
You're not broadcasting from the podcast.
No.
Like, it's from the internet.
No.
Yeah, it really bugs me. I think
maybe four people right now are actually listening to this on an iPod.
Maybe not even that. I doubt anyone.
It's more of
iPhone.
Really?
I know one.
Yeah, it's more of the phones.
I know one person who still rocks an iPod, but I don't know how many others.
That's like if you're trying to really stay old school hipster, like really.
No, you know
legit.
What? There's a new surge of people are refurbing podcasts and selling them because phone space.
How do you refurb
data.
A podcast?
I'm sorry, an iPod.
Right.
So because like phones only have 32 gigs or 64 gigs if you're lucky, and because of data, like all the music is turned to streaming services and people don't, their data plans get charged. So people are now taking, because there's SSDs that fit the form factor of old iPods, they're taking iPods apart and putting like 256 gig SSDs inside the iPod and then just downloading all their music at home so that when they're in the car. So actually, I stand corrected. There might be a lot of people listening.
I don't think a lot of people are doing that.
That's a new thing. Yeah. It's like a fad.
I need to start
right
a
now.
Company. So I don't know. I know I was talking to Tyrone the other day, and he's really going to start pushing his campaign for presidency.
Mm-hmm. I saw he got one share and one like.
Well, yeah. he was upset that we had Zoltan on.
Right.
And because basically it's competitor.
Oh, it's a competitor.
Direct competitor.
Right. Yeah.
And he was white. Really pissed after.
Right.
I mean,
are they the same party? I don't think that's he's transhumanist. It doesn't even fall.
No, no,
like,
no. I know, but Zoltan's white, and
oh,
so
just cause he's
he
white.
Was mad. Yeah, so
yeah,
because death to white people.
Death to white
right.
people. Yeah,
yeah,
he's, yeah.
Why does he even tolerate us though? Why is he friends with us then?
I don't. Well, because we talked about you being black, and I'm part black. So, and Dave is part black. So
how am I black though? Dave is black.
No, we talked about how Brent was black in the episode not too long ago.
Oh, we did.
Yeah,
that was a reason.
I forget now.
I had a couple really racist things I could have said.
He might just be, you know, my dad taught me like, you know, play the game and smile at the white devil. That might be what he's doing with you guys.
Maybe. He knows we're giving him airtime.
Right. So he's just going to bide his time.
Yeah. So campaign's coming, bumper stickers, shirts. He likes it. He's ready. He's ready to build the wall around white people.
That's his campaign.
Yeah.
That's a great campaign.
So we got a fan.
Really, Dave? It's a great campaign.
That's a great campaign slogan. I just want to say it's a great campaign slogan.
Did you guys see the thing where Ted Cruz punched and elbowed his wife in the face?
No.
On purpose?
No. He was, saying that he was going to stop his campaign because, you know, he's basically not going to get the GOP nomination. And so like he goes to turn around and he hugs his wife, and then he goes to turn around and hug his boyfriend behind him, and he punches her and elbows her in the face as he's like turning around, like, and then includes her in the group hug. Like, it's pretty funny.
Why'd you say boyfriend? Is that like an allegation supposed to be true?
I don't know. Maybe it was his boyfriend. Is there a problem with that?
No.
Do we have a problem with gays?
No.
Now, all of a sudden.
Just adultery.
That's why we're trying to get rid of white people.
It's the adultery.
Yeah, it was the adultery I was talking about. Oh, not the gay. That's fine. So,
El Yucateco, hot sauce.
Yeah. So actually, funny story. Brad and I are old and doing jujitsu. He wasn't going to talk about it because he doesn't want to admit that he's in pain at all over there. But
no, I'm good.
I have a lidocaine patch
right now on this table.
I've been electroshocking myself all week.
I don't have any braces or aspirin or ibuprofen in me.
No?
Nope.
Just a little German.
Just taking it like a man.
So Dave walked into my computer shop and I was in the floor with a bottle of Yucateco sauce under my shoulder blade.
In the floor?
In the floor. On the floor.
Let me.
Rin's having issues.
I come walking in and minding my own business. I make a very particular noise when I walk in the shop so that no one thinks they have to run to the front lobby.
Were you rolling your back with a bottle of El Yucateco?
Yes, he was. No, I walk in. I make the strange noise I make when I walk in. I always go, brrr.
Yep.
Because no one else makes that noise. And then because they're in the lobby, they don't have to come to the lobby looking for a customer. They know it's me. I walk into the back and I find him laying on the ground. Like, I immediately was going to like check for signs of stroke or something. And he's like rolling back and forth to the left and right, making groaning noises and adjusting things behind his back because he's laying on a bottle of the black label El Yucateco hot sauce, rubbing the knot out of his back. And I was probably hanging out for 30 minutes and he didn't stop doing it. He kind of looked like Baloo rubbing his back against a tree.
It's the perfect size. It's like, it's perfect. Like, it fits right under my shoulder blade where that knot was. Like, I tried to use a baseball. I tried to use
a delayed reaction.
I tried to use a tennis ball.
I'm just trying to process all of this.
So what's funnier though, is at that point I had been doing it for 30 minutes and I just stood up and set the bottle on the counter and one of my friends came in and he had gotten a bunch of Yucateco sauce for his birthday and they gave him triple X and he can't handle it. And he knows that's my favorite. And he's like, hey man, I came by and I want to see if you want to trade this triple X bottle of Yucateco for a black. And I was like, well, I'll be honest, man. I only have one bottle of black sauce left.
It belongs to Tyrone.
I've been rolling on it for 30 minutes, so it's like warm from me. He's like, well, it's not open or anything, right? I was like, no, but I've been rolling on it on the carpet for like 30 minutes.
And it was pretty awesome because for half a second, he looks confused because I think he thought you were like putting it on your back like you would Icy Hot.
I wonder if that would work.
Next scene. I don't know. Trying that.
We're going to try that for sure. That's a YouTube video.
But it did help. Rubbing it made a considerable difference. Like, it was painful.
So aside from being delicious, if your back hurts, you can roll around on bottles.
You know, it probably work good for the arches of your feet, too.
Yeah, probably would.
At your own risk, though. I don't know how much pressure one of those bottles can take, but it can definitely take 235 pounds of me arching on the carpet and rolling back and forth. And it didn't break. I had these, like, visions of shards going into my back, though.
That's not going
to
break.
I don't think so. I watched that Mythbusters where they tried to hit each other with beer bottles.
But it did last for a really long time. Yeah. Like, I was there for a good half hour, and he was just, like, going,
yeah, I heard about the weird noises.
Like, rolling
makes.
Back and forth on the
That was my O-face.
You know, I was going to say, you know who doesn't have El Yucateco more than likely?
Who?
North Korea.
Oh.
I doubt
that's
it.
That's true.
I wonder if they do. I wonder if we can get Jim Kum Ul to
I knew we were in for a treat of North Korean names once we decided this was the topic.
I'm upset about everyone has Taekwondo as their name. Like, the champion Taekwondo guy was Jim Kill Gi, and I'm like, well, how that's appropriate. His last name is Gi.
Yeah,
like, really? Like, how they all have three names? Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
Usually the last two have a hyphen from what I was seeing.
Yeah, it's usually two letters or three letters,
right?
Like, I was like, wow, everybody has three names. It's crazy. I guess we have three names too, we just don't say them.
That's true.
So this episode, I'm Brad Allen Taylor.
All right.
And Brent is Brent Michael.
How dare you know my middle
Ben
name?
Tassel. And Dave is Dave Johnson Moten.
No. I like it though.
Dave the Johnson Moten.
I like Give it though. It's Dave Hyung Moten.
Oh, is it nice. Hyung?
No.
You have a Korean name?
No. I was just throwing that
I was like,
there.
Wow.
It is a J though. You were in the you were
Oh,
in the
David J. Moten. That's right. Oh, yeah. Your book says it on there.
It is. Yeah.
That's what I was eyeballing over your shoulder.
Dave Juan Moten.
No.
Dave Django Moten.
That's it.
The D is silent.
Not, I'm going to fucking legally change it. But before we get into Korea, we do have a whiskey wall in Doctrine E. And who is it who sent it to
Popcorn
us?
Sutton.
This is from Chris Willis.
Chris Willis.
And
what his, you talking grand, about, Willis?
His granddaughter, Jasmine, actually, apparently
she tried
listens
this?
To the show next to him. Ooh, I don't know how old she is, but yeah.
Nice.
But that,
so
that's
parental advisory.
I do have to ask the question if you're letting your
is she old? Is she young enough for me to punch in the face? That's all I want to know.
Probably not.
Not considered a baby, no. Granddaughter, no.
And I won't get tired of saying, what you talking about, Willis, the whole time we're talking about him?
What you talking about? Chris Willis. He actually corrected me because he is not a Siamese twin boxer. Apparently, I used him for that reference. Right. And the owner of the coffee shop, his wife came up to me this morning. She said, I must be really naive. I was Googling Siamese twin boxers.
For those of you out there Googling Siamese twin boxing championship, you're not the only one.
Yeah, I was lying.
Just no.
So he gave us a jar of Tennessee white whiskey, a.k.a. moonshine, and it's Papa Sutton's Triple X Tennessee white whiskey. And smelling it. It just smells like a whiskey.
Hold nothing. On. You got to tell the story, though.
What's my story?
That he called you.
He did. He has been, ever since this showed up, he really wanted this whiskey as the thing. And he made the sacrifice. I guess they don't make it anymore. And it was the last bottle at the place.
He doesn't even know what it tastes like.
He doesn't know what it tastes like. And so he's like super curious. How was it? How was it? How was it? He's kind of like a moonshine whiskey guy. And he's disappointed he didn't get to try it, but he likes it so much. I even told him over Messenger, like, hey, dude, keep that one for yourself. Send us something else then. And he's like, no, this is the one. So he sent it to us.
That's legit.
He actually called my work today, though. The phone rang, and my tech kind of filters my calls sometimes. And I was like, he's like, is Brent there? And he's like, who's this? He's like, it's Chris. And so he's like, yeah, because I got like four Chris friends, right? So he just hands the phone over, and I was like, hello? He's like, hey, man, how's that shine? And I was like, what? And he's like, the moonshine. And I was like, oh, it's Chris Willis. It's like podcast Chris Willis. Track me down at work. I was like, I didn't drink it yet, man. He's just like, I thought you were drinking on Wednesday. I was like, yeah, not at like 12 noon. I was like, we're when we record the
that's,
podcast.
That's the moonshine way. Right, yeah. 12 noon.
Yeah. I was like, I can't do that. I got to drink it on the podcast in front of everybody. So here it is. And we put it in the refrigerator per his request. So it's pretty ice cold.
So don't tell anybody after we finish the bottle. I'm going to piss in it, and we're going to send it back to him.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
I think you just told a lot of people.
Man. Well, he
okay, here it goes. Here
we go.
It's strong.
It is strong.
That was surprisingly smooth, though.
It was.
Like, you're making strong face. And
No. Don't mistake my face. Very smooth. Really, actually, really smooth. Like, I'm very surprised.
But somehow, really strong.
But in the front of your mouth, it is strong.
It's like the smoothest flammable liquid I've ever
had. Yeah.
We're all going to go blind.
No, and it has
but
a.
It was.
It's almost like a tequila weirdness.
It has a tequila-y aftertaste with a vodka alcohol hit. And it's like, to me, has like a apple-y flavor.
I don't know. I never had moonshine before.
No, I get the tequila thing. No, it's good. I've seen the white whiskeys floating around, which is basically moonshine, but I haven't ever had any. So I would say thank you, but instead I have to represent my own age and once again say, what you talking about, Willis?
So that's the Chris Sutton Triple X. That's
nice.
Triple X moonshine.
That's a good name too.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay.
I'll be sending you a bottle back to replace that one.
Don't drink it, Chris.
One group of people who drink moonshine are people in North Korea.
I don't think that's a good segue at all.
Like, I'm assuming they're not going to go to a fucking liquor store and buy booze. They can't afford to eat anything.
Yeah, they make
they're probably making moonshine out of potato shavings.
They were eating just fine.
Toilet mash?
I watched the interview for this hour and a half long documentary. Everything was fine. People were great. Stores were nice, clean.
They're really nice.
It was a very awesome
Katy Perry
place. Yes.
And speaking of filming stuff about North Korea, I think the first thing that I went to in doing the research is a Vice documentary that came out a couple of years ago now. And I had seen clips of it, but I had never watched the whole thing. It's about 40 minutes long. And it's called The Vice Guide to North Korea. And the main guy who started Vice, Shane Smith, like, is on a quest to get into North Korea. And he kind of figures out how to do it. Did you guys get a chance to see this?
Yeah, I watched it.
I didn't see that one. I don't trust Vice.
He has balls. Like, what he did was very ballsy, but the way it was edited was really fucking annoying.
How so?
The documentary wasn't about North Korea. It was about Shane Smith.
You think so?
Yes. And then it would be like, and then he would like show a clip of something, and then it would come back to him talking about me, Shane Smith.
Oh, I didn't
and
really
there would
that.
Be like rip off AC/DC guitar riffs in between shots. And I was like, just fucking get to the point. But having said all that,
I don't know how much creative control he actually has over that either, though.
It's his fucking thing. Yeah. Like, he is Vice. Like, that's his thing. But he's even Vice? In spite of that, like, he created it. That was his brainchild.
Well, yeah, that is the guy.
Yeah.
On Rogan podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe in spite of all that editing, it's a really cool documentary. Like, what he does, he wants to go to North Korea. He flies to South Korea. He goes to the demilitarized zone in between the two Koreas, and he can't get in. There's no way to get there. And he interviews people who have escaped from North Korea. And apparently they all say, oh no, if you want to go there, what you do is you fly to this one city in China, because all that you do is go to that city, bribe a customs official, and then they fly you into North Korea. That's how we get back in. And it's like, Jesus Christ. So this fucking gringo goes to China and then bribes a customs official to fly him into North Korea. And then it's this document of what he goes through in North Korea, and it's very fucking bizarre.
It's a wild ride. That's scary. Like they said, first he went to the DMZ on the south side, and you couldn't even point. You can't like have a camera. Like super strict, because they're like, you're gonna start World War III if you look at that guard wrong. Like, you could look out the window, but not too long. It was like super.
Those guys aren't starting World War III.
I don't
they're
know.
Not that doing nothing.
John Kum Oo.
John Kum-un.
However you said it.
John Kum-un me.
I'm going to forget the real words because I'm going to speak in Bradisms. We're going to have
Motograss. It's not my fault they named him something fucked up.
But no, he's crazy. He might fly off the handle. Who knows? You don't know what that guy's going to do. I don't think he's going to do it. But anyways, it was super strict on that side. So like Dave said, he went over there to Shenyang and bribed the consulate. And then they told him, we'll meet you at 4 p.m. tomorrow. And then at 6 a.m. beat on the hotel door and picked him up and threw him in the car.
Forced him out, yeah.
Took him to the airport and flew him across. Super sketchy.
And then even when he gets there, it's like they're filming shit, and like they keep getting threatened by guards that they're going to like arrest him for criminal shit.
I want to see the guy's camera. Like, they kept telling him, you can't film, and yet they keep filming.
Well, a lot of it looked like they were like holding the camera down low and kind of guerrilla filming.
Yeah,
like,
you have to understand too, they didn't have at that time, probably when that documentary is filmed, they didn't have as much technology. So you could probably say we're not filming. And if you're a smart Vice crew, you probably took any red lights or anything off of a camera.
Maybe, I thought about that. Like, so they modified the camera, because he asked him in the elevator at one point. He's like, are you guys filming? He's like, no, he's just holding it like that for practice.
Yeah.
Which is funny, because I bet there's a lot of lost in translation things that happen.
Yeah.
Because there was a part where they were like, hey, don't stand in front of our great leader. And you could tell they're being smart asses. He's like, hey, can you move to the left of the great leader? He doesn't want you to block the great leader. Like, they kind of sarcastically were making little stabs. I was like, ooh, man, if somebody picks up on your slang,
your ass is going into the gulag. Yeah. But, and the whole thing is just a fucking trippy ride, man. I recommend watching it. He goes like, he's in a 47 story hotel, and he and the cameraman are the only two people staying there. Like, just this massive fucking hotel. And then they go down.
Right?
What's that?
For a minute. Wasn't that the one where all the nuclear, the third nuclear test, like, caravan showed up? They were the only ones in that hotel. And I thought that was the one where when they
This was the first hotel.
Okay.
And then they go down to that huge banquet room, and there's a whole staff of waitresses setting out food on all these tables. And like, no one else came in because no one's in the hotel.
On one of those things I watched, he walked in, and it was like this big banner said like, congratulations, they were celebrating the third nuclear underground testing successfully. And there was a bunch of like international controversy about them doing that.
Oh, wow.
And when he got up to his room, it was like, oh, it's just us. And then it's, and that might have been the other one. That might have been a different one where they go and play basketball.
That might, because I know they went back
to the basketball. ETs on the bicycle across the moon.
That's right.
That one.
Yeah.
Same one.
Different thing. Well, no, because I know they went back again, and that was what led to fucking Dennis Rodman going there and all that shit. Yeah. So that was a
But yeah, that was the Shane Smith one, you're right. Yeah, they get up there. There's only two people in that hotel, and then they tell them it's dinner time, and they go down there. Like, there's this huge banquet. It's all set up and everything, and then they bring out that food, and he referred to it as deep fried matter.
Fried matter, yeah. And like everywhere he goes, he's just like, and you see it on camera, it's just like he's on a freeway and there's no car except for his.
Not one.
They stop at a gas station and there's no car, and they stop in a convenience store and there's not one customer. And like he went into a tea shop and it was like the first person that had come to the tea shop in 6 months. And it was like, but it's all staged to look like, because there's a tour guide, there's a bodyguard. Like if you're a Westerner who showed up, they were like going out of their way to take this person to all these spots. So if they leave, it's
specific places,
right?
Yeah.
They're only taking the Westerner to these places that are fake.
He said,
so that they don't drive to the worst parts of town, they don't eat the worst food, and they leave.
You're not
a
tourist,
impression.
You're on tour,
right?
He said, you're on a tour. He's like, they take you exactly where they want you to go. Like, there's all these stores that are false fronts, there's nothing really in them, and then they walk you into the one that they want you to go to,
right?
Yeah, and I watched a documentary called 10 Days in North Korea, and I believe this one's like from 2014, and I think this one's newer than the Vice documentary.
Yeah, that would be newer. The Vice is maybe 2011.
And so it's kind of the same thing. Like they're in North Korea in the main city, but they're actually, everything's like thriving there. Like, but it's the same thing though. They take them on a tour. You know, they're only allowed to come out of their hotel room when the tour guide is with them.
Yeah, they could not leave the hotel.
Yeah, they never can't leave the hotel. I don't even think they could come out of their room without the guide there. But there were other Western tourists with them.
And so
they're actually opening up to tourism because it's bringing in money. Yeah. They have to. They don't have any money.
I know under Kim Jong Il, no one got in, and that's when Vice went.
Yeah, Kim Jong Il. Yeah, but when he was,
Kim Jong Un, apparently more people are getting in since Dennis Rodman showed up. It's been getting.
I just thought it's like, better. Is he starving at the end of this? Because they're like, that food seems so gross.
The food seemed horrible. They were carrying
away the leftovers very carefully and putting them back into like containers and stuff, because they're like in the middle of a famine.
Yeah, they're going to give it back.
They're going to give it to the next whoever else shows up. It's so gross.
Well, they can only farm 15% of the land in all of North Korea. So with as many people as they have a million man army.
They said 2 million.
Yeah, it's close.
Okay, so maybe. Yeah. So, at the time of this document, they said 1 million man. So, right. I don't know if half of them died off because they couldn't eat or
the
what.
The numbers fluctuate.
Nobody really knows.
But I read a couple of places that it was two.
Even a million man army. You have a million man army. You think about how big North Korea is. It's not that fucking big. Mm-mm. Like, it's a small area. They have a million man army plus farmers, workers, all the other people that are there.
I might be wrong, but I want to say it's a 20. I want to say there's 25 million people in the country.
That's fucking.
I mean, the thing is, they're so obedient. Really, their population is the army. Like, they will just do anything.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed, was that they were very. I think because they're born into it, they're taught from a baby.
Absolutely.
To be obedient.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're general.
Right.
You know, he's the one that they just follow. Like, that's it. They praise him. He's like a god.
And it's like their parents did, their grandparents did. Like, it was the same family. It's the same everything. So it's like, they're like the Pharaoh, you know, of the land.
Yeah. Kum Tung Dil is he is the god of the entire island. I mean, that whole island is.
Are you just flowing? Like, is that freestyle? Or like, you coming up with those before you say them? Are you thinking of them?
Jesus Christ. But
comment.
One other thing that happened in the documentary that I thought was really fucking crazy is when he was in South Korea, the free side of Korea, at the DMZ. And just in case listeners don't know what the deal is. So basically, right after World War II, Korea was owned by the Nipponese Empire, by the Japanese. And as kind of like they did with East and West Berlin, they just cut Korea down the middle on the 38th parallel. And North Korea belonged to the Soviets. And then South Korea became a free sort of westernized country. Yeah. And then just a couple of years later, they went to war. That was the Korean conflict that we were in. Go watch MASH, et cetera.
That war. They fought for like 40 years, didn't they? Or was that
war,
that was from the Japan? Like,
that
the
was
fight.
From before. That was the Japan. Yeah, the Korean war where North Korea and South Korea were fighting although it's hard to say, technically they fought, the combat lasted for 3 years, and I can't say the war
ended. It was
kind
of like the Cold War right. for like 40 years though. Like they
and technically the war is still, we are technically still at war yeah. with North Korea because we never signed a peace treaty. We just signed a ceasefire armistice. So technically we're
yeah,
still at war.
Yeah, basically a friendly, like, yeah, you know, we're gonna
still
be
at war
peace.
With North
yeah.
Korea. But so there's North and South, and right there, there's what they call the DMZ, the demilitarized zone. And it's just this strip of land where there's the largest buildup of soldiers on Earth from the yeah. South Korean side and the North Korean side. There's something like 3 million landmines yep. scattering the DMZ, yeah, so no one can cross.
The demilitarized zone is actually the most militarized area in the world.
Ironically,
there is yeah. the most yeah. weapons there in the world.
And from what Shane Smith said, there's a bunch of monuments right on the North Korean side that apparently are filled with dynamite, so that if tanks start rolling up, they just blow them up and they'll collapse and block roads and all this stuff. So
I feel like that would I thought about that when they said that. I was like, that would degrade. I don't know. Do they really have
yeah,
like
I don't know that. I don't know
that
that's
like,
true, but it's good propaganda.
Yeah.
It would be like, we pumped the thing.
Yeah.
Right. Nothing's happening.
As soon as I heard dynamite, I thought like Coyote right. and Roadrunner.
Well,
like,
no, but the thing I immediately thought of is they probably built that fucking statue in 1973. And by this point, that shit would be nitroglycerin and somebody would yeah. fucking run into it with a bicycle and it would explode.
I thought it was crazy. North Korea tunneled 70 meters down yeah. and under the border.
Multiple tunnels. The yeah. CIA and the U.S. Army
meters,
keep finding
that's
it.
So yeah. far down.
So it's under the landmines.
So they can go under the
So that within an hour and a half, they could invade Seoul, which is the capital right. of South Korea. But so at the DMZ, when Shane Smith is there on the south side, on the free side, there's like super restrictions. You can't, like you said, you can't point at the other side. You can't have a camera. You can't do shit.
Can't fart in their direction.
They bring you to this area and they let you stand there for like 90 seconds and then they yeah. turn you around and take you back. And when he was on the North Korean side, he just showed up with a bunch of Chinese tourists and they could fucking do whatever they wanted yeah. to do. They were just walking all the way up to the edge and there was like a sign, landmines, don't come closer. But it was like nobody seemed to give a shit on the North Korean side. If you want to fucking walk around, walk around. And I think it's probably because it's a big fuck you. Like, look how much better we are. Like, on their side, they can't even come up to the border because they have no freedoms. But on the glorious North Korean side,
we can blow ourselves
up. Yeah, we can do whatever we want.
They even built
to.
An entire ghost town. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
I think North Korea, I think the people probably feel free, like, because if they're given freedoms, you know what I mean? Like they've been contained for so long.
I don't think they know any better.
Yeah, they don't know any better. That's probably what I'm saying. Yeah. They feel free, like a dog.
Except for all the ones in a labor camp.
Yeah, the labor camp are prisoners. They deserve it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Some of those people did nothing. Some of those people's grandparents did it, and they're still in the labor camp.
Your grandparents shouldn't have been stupid.
Here's part of the labor thing. Camp. In 1972, Kim Il-sung, the first one,
right,
not even the Kim Jong-il or Kim... whatever Brad
Kim
says.
Il-sung, Kim Il-sung,
Kim Il-sung.
John Kim Il-sung.
Kim Il-sung died in 1994.
Long Duk Dong is what you're looking
yes.
for.
But the whole time he was grooming his son, Kim Jong-il, who died in 2011. He was grooming him to take over. He was the head general, all this stuff. But the two of them together came up with, and I know I'm not going to pronounce it right, but they came up with this term called Juche, J-U-C-H-E.
Yeah, it's juicy.
Juicy. They came up with juicy. And it basically means self-reliance. And which is ironic because they have no self-reliance. But the idea is that the nation is completely self-reliant, and that this philosophy, this political ideal that they follow, because they distance themselves from communism starting in the 70s. They don't say they're communist anymore.
They're socialist.
They're this other thing. And they say that you can only think, if you are a member of North Korean society, you only think through the great brain.
Mm-hmm. Which is Kim Dong-il.
Kim Dong-il. Which is
DeGrasse Tyson.
Yeah. So,
well, his father, Kim Dong-il Diamond, is a great music artist.
But the idea is they're trained from birth. Like, you don't even think. Like, that's instilled from birth.
That's exactly what I was saying.
He thinks for us.
Yeah.
And they consider the leader to be the great revolutionary because they're, et cetera. And revolution
he's the one
is
that
still
gives
encouraged,
them,
but they're the only, he's the only one who can start a revolution.
He's the one that gives them everything. Mm-hmm. Like he made this store for us. He put in this building. He did this. He created this museum. He's the one that goes in when they're building a building. He goes in before they're done and approves everything and says, no, you need this. You need this. You need right. this. Walks out. They do that stuff. And then they're thankful for it.
Right.
You know, so it's a crazy parallel where they know nothing else. You yeah. know what I mean? Like that's it.
They said he's personally responsible for directing, inspecting and advising all aspects yeah. of Korean life. Like when you go anywhere, like you said, like you go to the gym
yeah.
and it was like, oh, he personally inspected this piece of equipment yeah. and it has a little plaque on it. And people fight over like,
right.
well, not fight over probably, but they prefer to go on the machine that yeah. he inspected or well, something.
All North Koreans wear a pin above their heart.
Right.
Which symbolizes their faith in government and loyalty and all that stuff. And I guess there's different pins, and the one of him and his father smiling is the hardest to come by.
The hardest to get.
So like everybody wants that pin, you know, and those are the,
I got it on eBay.
Yeah. You probably can.
But so, and again, and to make things even worse. So that was their policy in 1972, this idea that you don't even think for yourself and you just rely on the leader. But in 1960, they formalized a policy called Songun, which is a military first policy. And again, this was done by both Kim Il-sung and a really young Kim Jong-il. They came up with this policy together and both signed off on it. And the idea is that the military takes precedent over anything else, over yeah. education, over farming, yep. over the economy, over anything. Like yeah. I mean, every nation, you know, you'll make your call as a nation. I mean, we put a lot of money in our military, but we also build roads and we make, you know,
yeah.
we have money that's divested everywhere. But their operating philosophy as a country is military first. All of the money goes to the military. Military first, and whatever the fuck is left yeah. over goes to Kim Jong-il and his, you know,
yeah, every
donkey
man,
meals.
Every
he
man,
liked, he liked
every
grilled man. Donkey, by the way. I kept reading that like he would treat guests. This was Kim Jong-il. He would treat guests to dinner.
I don't know who you're talking about.
Of cognac. And apparently he's the number one purchaser of Hennessy in the world. Kim Jong-il was. Wow.
Take that, rap
and,
stars.
Yeah. Exactly. And he would feed people lavish feasts of lobster and grilled donkey because that was his favorite meal.
Mm. I can't not grill donkey because I don't know. You know what I mean? I yeah. don't know. Yeah, it might be true. Great.
Dan, now I forgot what I was going to say. Thanks, Dave.
You're welcome.
Anyway.
Did you guys see inside the gym? I know Brad didn't see because he watched the Vice one. The gym, they had this crazy machine, and it was a breast enlargement machine that was actually inside
sucked
the gym.
Sucked on your titties?
It did. It had these big, like plexiglass titty-shaped suction cups that went on there.
Yeah.
And he said that it would enlarge your breast, and it would effectively fight breast cancer as well.
Wow. How about that?
Pretty sure it was an air pump and some suction cups.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say. Each person in Korea, North Korea, serves at least 10 years in the military. Every man.
Damn.
So they do a 10-year stint in the military, and then they get out and do whatever they were doing. Because they were talking about a farmer whose father before him was a farmer, but he served 10 years in the military, and then when he was out, he started farming.
Right.
And you know,
a lot of countries do that, actually. There's a lot
not
of
10 years. Years.
10 years.
2 years.
Yeah, those. 2 years. 2 years is
which I think
common.
It would be good for the U.S. to do that. Like, you should serve.
Would you go now? You
know, yeah, I would go now.
You would still go?
Yeah. Why not? I mean, it would suck any way you do it. I mean, at least now I know how to fight and stuff. Like when I was like 20, I was still a kid.
Right.
You know what I mean? At least now I have dad strength.
That's true. You do have
dad strength. Yeah. Nice.
So
put that shit in a jar, man. Dad yeah. strength.
I want to talk
about
it.
I'm sending back to Chris.
That's right. I want to talk about Kim Jong-il a little bit. Because so Kim Il-sung, the first one who died in 94, he locked down the country. He was a tyrant, et cetera. But his son really kind of perfected shit. Like his son.
They still worship Kim Il-sung.
They still worship Kim Il-sung. He's called the great leader.
Right.
And he's president for all eternity.
Right.
Right. Yeah, he's the eternal leader.
Yeah.
Kim Il-sung.
Kim Jong-il is the dear leader. So right. if you say the great leader, you mean his dad. If you say the dear leader, you mean the son. And the dear leader was pretty fucking batshit crazy.
How far down the line is it going to go? Is it going to get to like the decent leader?
No. Right.
He's pretty good.
There's yeah, there's the okay leader.
Yeah.
but so one thing, he was obsessed with movies. He had something like 20,000 films in his collection. He wrote a book called On the Art of Cinema, which is, I read online, it said it's considered the authoritative look at North Korean cinema. Well, fucking no
well,
shit.
Well, yeah.
Like, he's the only one who could afford to watch a
movie.
Well,
he created a bunch of movie scripts and stuff, too, plays that they turned into movies. Mm-hmm.
And he also...
Which were the authority on North Korean film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But he kidnapped two South Korean filmmakers and a filmmaker and an actress. He kidnapped them and forced them to start a North Korean film industry. And they lived at gunpoint making films for Kim Jong Il forever. And then somehow they convinced him they had to go to Australia to film something. And while they were there, they got, you know, they snuck out and they ended up seeking asylum and they got out. And the story was broke. But yeah, he fucking kidnapped some filmmakers.
Like, are they allowed to leave there? Like if Kim Jong-un says, yes, these people go to Australia, I want you to do something. Do we have any restriction as far as letting them into Australia or the United States? Are they allowed to come here? I know we can't go there really unless we sneak in.
Yeah, the ones who snuck out, there are people who have snuck out and are in America.
But I'm saying if with the permission of the dear leader
I think it's all part of the embargoes and all that shit.
We don't let them in.
No, we don't let it's – and again, it's part
like
of
you're,
the –
You're saying like one of their like leader guys,
says it's okay. Yeah,
like an ambassador or something.
We want you to go
over
here to do whatever.
I don't think so. I think –
Well, no, with ambassadors and shit for sure, but I don't know, like if you're just a normal North Korean citizen and you just want to go to the Grand Canyon and the great leader lets you, I don't think America would let him in.
Yeah, and there's like I said in the documentary I watched, there was a Spanish, he was like the friendship ambassador of the country or something, weird bullshit title like that, where he was from Spain, he spoke Spanish, but he basically talked to anybody who came into North Korea and would kind of tell them the reasons why they did things like they did and how it was great, you know, and it was self-reliant.
Right.
Even though most of their merchandise, 80% of it comes from China.
Right.
You know what I mean? And foods, you know, it's supplemented from China. Everything is supplemented from China because they have to, or they all
Yeah, they
die.
Have to. They've always had a relationship with them. I mean, because even though they don't claim themselves as communist anymore, that's really one of their only backers is China.
Yeah.
A little bit of Vladimir Putin kicks down there as well.
And the reason I said socialist is because that guy specifically said they were socialist. That's what he called the government. So because technically they are giving the people everything.
Well, technically, yeah. I mean,
they go and they pick up food. They go and they pick up their money.
They control the entire economy. It's more totalitarian
than socialist.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
True. You can call it what you want.
They call it like the something Democratic People's Korea or whatever.
It's the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
Yeah, or DPRK. Yeah,
DPRK. Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
You saw the voting system in the ballot. I don't want to cut you off.
No, I didn't see that. What was
it? So they do have a vote, and they call it the Democratic People's Republic of Korea or whatever, and there is one name on the ballot.
No, that's fair.
They vote, and there's one name on the ballot. So they officially vote, but...
Yeah.
That's it.
And I know there's like right now, as of the recording,
well, who's going to run against it?
Yeah. As of the recording of this show, like, Kim Jong-un, the third one, I don't know what leader they call him, but he's getting ready to fully consolidate his power, and he's allowing Congress to meet for the first time in over a generation
so that
they will officially ratify him as the permanent leader. And they think he's been doing some power play behind the scenes, killing off enemies like and uncles. And
yeah, he killed like the military leader who was his uncle, who's been like the trusted, you know, standby
forever.
For 40
like,
years.
Had him killed.
Yeah.
He had his wife killed with poison, all this stuff. So, I mean, obviously there's some fucking crazy Machiavellian power plays going on right now to see who's going to secure it. And the same thing happened when Kim Il-sung died and Kim Jong-il took over. It took 3 years for him to consolidate power and fully be the dear leader that rules everything, in spite of the fact that he was groomed and they want the same looking person and they want part of the family. But he still had a whole lot of motherfuckers he had to shake off in order to take control of the country.
Yeah. I think it's important to say how he killed his uncle, though. Did you guys read that?
Yeah, he sucked his dick to death. He sucked the life out of
his dick to death.
He sucked his soul. He sucked his soul out through his dick.
Man, Brad, you're doing good tonight because I don't know if how hard you studied, but you're still making me laugh with all your crazy ass names and sucking his dick to death. I have no qualms with you tonight.
Break it down. How did he do it?
In 2013, Kim Jong-un killed his own uncle by stripping him naked and throwing him into a cage with 100 starving dogs. That is like some snatch bullshit, crazy ass.
That doesn't sound
Guy
so
Ritchie.
Bad.
Are you kidding me?
I think we could have come up with something better than that.
No way. The leader of a country. They ate him alive.
That's it.
They ate him. 100 dogs eat you alive?
100 dogs. And then they ate the dogs.
And
that's the crazy thing.
Technically,
fucking cannibals.
Technically, what I read, it was 120.
Oh, wow.
Angry dogs.
It's like 120 dogs to take that guy down. That's pretty good.
Orange but dog doesn't sound as good as orange chicken.
The one other thing I read that was crazy about Kim Jong-il is that there was a professor in Tokyo from Waseda University who's like an expert in North Korea. That's like his career is studying North Korea and the leaders, et cetera. And he published a paper in 2003. And he said that based on mannerisms and physical features and all these different things, that he thinks that Kim Jong-il didn't die in 2011. He thinks he died in 2003 and that every appearance of him was actually one of his known assassination
doubles,
fakes.
Right.
Because he has doubles that would show up so no one would kill him, etc.
Until they could
but
groom.
Like this professor who studies it for a living thought in 2003 that he died. And for whatever reason, he came to the conclusion he died of diabetes, some diabetic complication. And he thought that from 2003 until 2011, that there was actually a fake one of him showing up in public appearances because, and if you, and I don't know, it might've just been aging, but when I looked at pictures of him, when I was doing research, there is a distinct sort of look at one point, and then he really does look somewhat different.
Right.
His hair is different. His face is different. I mean, it still looks like the same guy. But there is, I assumed it was age or illness or something. But anyway, that's this guy's claim, is that he actually died early and the government was what, you know, the totalitarian regime was just propping up a fake him.
Because they didn't have a replacement ready.
And I know one thing that I thought, did you read about his son who was supposed to take over?
No.
Instead of, there was another son. He's got several sons. And one of the older sons named
Long Dong Doo.
No, Kim Jong Nam was supposed to take over. Yeah, he was supposed to take over and he lost face from his father and all of the politicians because he got arrested in Narita International Airport near Tokyo, where he was caught attempting to enter Japan on a fake passport so he could go to Tokyo Disneyland.
Ooh. Man, so at least he wanted to have fun.
They shipped him back to North Korea. And at that point, they were like, you're not taking over.
That might have been a mistake for them because he could have came back and built Korea Land.
Oh, yeah, they could have.
And had a legit theme park.
Which brings up Korean SeaWorld. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that.
They did it on Vice. They took that guy. I think it was him. Yeah, they took the guy from Vice. Maybe I'm getting the basketball one mixed up, but they took the guy to the Korean SeaWorld. And when he walks in, it's obvious that the audience is like set their stage. They're like, okay, like they're showing up waiting for this one guy. Like he's the Truman Show. Like when he walks in, everyone's kind of looking over at him like that's the guy we're waiting for.
How many parts are there to the Vice documentary? How long was it? Well, there was three.
It was at least an hour long.
Okay, well then that was because I saw two and I thought the second one was the end. So this probably did happen in the same documentary. I only watched the first 40
So they
minutes.
Go and what's crazy is like over the announcement, they're giving him credit for, it might have been the other one though, because they're talking about the nuclear testing again. They give him credit for the missiles and the nuclear testing. And then right after they give him credit for the missile defense, they say, and he's also responsible for the choreography for the dolphin show. Mm-hmm. They give him credit. They give him credit for everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, because they owe him their lives.
Yeah.
Well, he's the great brain.
Yeah.
Did you see the cataract surgeon that went over there?
No.
So a guy goes over and somehow he gets a pass because he's going to fix all these people that have cataracts. I don't know if it's from malnourishment or whatnot, which brings up a good point. North Koreans are 5 inches shorter than South Koreans based off nutrition alone.
Well, there was a famine from 94 to 98 that killed an estimated 3.5 million North Koreans.
And that's supposed to happen again right now. Yeah. That's supposed to be happening.
Yeah.
Partially because they built a monumental dam that's some like engineering feat, but it actually caused flooding in all the wrong areas and messed up.
Dried out all the right areas.
Agricultural problems in the other areas. But this guy goes over
there. No more rice for you.
Plants need electrolytes.
And he can do cataract surgery like a ninja. Like he can do it in like a minute. Right. And so he's literally got a line of these people that are blind and he lays one on the table while one's waiting behind them like it's Taco Bell and he's going to order food. He does their cataract surgery. A nurse tapes gauze on their eyes and puts some funny sunglasses on and sends them away and he lays another one down. And he does it for like 2 days straight and cures like 800 people of cataracts. Then they're all sitting there like 4 days later and he comes to talk to them about what to expect. They can all see now. They were blind. Then they come up and talk and guess who they think?
It's Kim Jong Il,
the great leader.
It's because he has the same haircut. Like, literally, no. Literally, they talked about the haircuts and the styling. Right. Like, women had basically a poster on the wall that said, like, these are the haircuts you can get. And if your hair is too long, you keep it up. And the man haircut was.
I was gonna try haircut. To do.
Dumb
I'm just gonna say,
dill.
I have a career or bullshit, but you guys are slowly marking things off my list. So North Koreans can only choose from 28 approved haircuts.
Yeah,
that's the truth.
And they're all slightly modified
10,
versions.
10 approved
of,
haircuts for men, and there's 18 approved haircuts for women's. Unless you're married, if you're married, it can only be the short haircuts. Only the single women are allowed to have the longer version of the haircut, so that they're appealing to men.
Wow.
Yeah. So that way they can identify them. So that's off the list of Korea or bullshit. So, and the other one was the dog uncle thing. So slowly chipping away.
What happened to that? Somebody's dog fucked their uncle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sucked his dick to death.
That happens. I heard.
I
wanted to look into some of it, because you always hear about like the human rights violations, the like pure acts of evil that happened in the government. So I wanted to kind of look into exactly what was going on and what they were doing. And I looked into their official prison system, which is called Quan Li So, and that's the term for their prison system. And it is fucking horrible.
I enjoyed this part. This is the part I think fucking we need to instate horrible. Into the United States.
There's five political prison camps that they think house between 150 and 200,000
people. Can we not call
them
prisons? Can we call them like housing projects?
No.
You sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
I enjoy this part. I'm on board.
The people that get arrested work hard labor. They're starved to death. They get no trial. They're just rounded up in the middle of the night because they spoke poorly of the great or dear leader, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like they actually, I mean, I'm sure some people in there did commit a crime of some sort, mm-hmm. but for the most part, they were just speaking out against the regime. So they got sent there. And they interview different people who have escaped and even some previous prison guards who now live in China or live in South Korea because they've left the country and then snuck down to South Korea. And one of the things that they do is that if they – and this would be an amazing fucking deterrent for people speaking out against the great dear leader. If you were speaking out, if you were considered a dissident or a revolutionary or whatever, they punish three generations for your crime. So if your parents are still alive and if you have children, everybody's getting locked up and sent to the labor camp.
You know what I think about that though? That's just killing off generations of stupid.
No, it's
like,
not.
That's how
it's
you
fucking
do it.
Evil and horrible. So this girl that they were interviewing was arrested when she was 13 because her grandfather spoke poorly of the administration, and she was in prison for 28 years.
She's probably going to do it too.
I have to say, for the person that's happening to, that sucks, but I bet that is a deterrent.
Oh, it's
for
a fucking massive
deterrent.
For this
generation, yeah. I bet no one does
anything
wrong.
Yeah,
here's
that's what I'm saying.
Here's some of the things that happened in the prison. She talked about the fact that if a guard came up and started talking to you, and you were a female, you had to drop on your knees and you had to put your hands behind your back.
Suck the soul out
and
of them?
No. You had to tilt your head back and open your mouth.
Souls in South
and
Korea.
The prison guard, while they were talking to you, would typically spit in your mouth.
Ooh.
And if you gagged or acted like you didn't like it, they would beat you until you were hospitalized.
Wow. That's some like weird sexual tension going on.
Brad
likes it.
There was another guy who talked about executions that happen in the prison.
I'm doing that at jiu-jitsu.
And the executions, they would, when it comes time for an execution, they put a triangular stone in the person's mouth and then tape the mouth shut and then put rags over their eyes, tie them in three places to a pole, and then they shoot them in the head and then in the chest and then in the stomach.
What about the stone?
I have no idea.
Well, the stone is the holy trinity of the three leaders.
Maybe it is.
Of all the cum dongs.
But the thing is, they make the person's entire family watch. And if anyone in the family shows distress or cries, they arrest them and shoot them the next day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Be strong.
And people. All of their people have to show up to the next person's death. And if any of them
they're
cry,
just getting rid of.
Exactly. And it's
just population control.
It's the ultimate way. I mean, you hear about Stalin, you hear about fucking all these different people that did some fucked up shit to keep the population in line. That's one thing. Like, you speak out, you get disappeared in the middle of the night. But when fucking your children and your parents all, mm-hmm. or if you and your children and your grandchildren all get rounded up. Even if you have the worst shit ever to say and hard facts, you're not going to say a fucking word.
You watch the people on the documentary and they're like, yeah, our great leader, he's the best. He's the one that gave us all this stuff. And then you look at their eyes and they're like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm lying out the fucking side of my ass. Like,
so it's like, as I was looking at this and as I was looking at these three leaders who run the country, like I had to think about an Instagram conversation that happened a while ago when we did our Vladimir Putin episode. And there were a lot of Russians who were like talking about what we said about Putin. And at the end of the day, I think all three of us were like, even though Putin's doing all this crazy shit, we actually walked out with some pretty mad respect for some of the stuff Putin was doing. But these motherfuckers are pussies. Sadistic, evil pricks who just need to be fucking removed from the face of the earth.
There's a difference though. Like Putin will go in there and like to their face be like, hey, you're a fuck. Like, this is what you need to do. You come fucking do this right now in front of me, right fucking now. And like fucking mans up to people. And like, this guy is like a hidden, like walking around with a fucking cane with a stupid ass haircut, you know, like trying to just deprive all the people of everything.
Right.
It's just bullshit. Like, it's just a power because he can, you know what I mean? Like, if all the people rose up, all fucking 25 million of them, they're fucked.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. If people, but I don't know how they would ever rise up. I mean, how they would ever get the mindset. I mean, you need,
They don't have the mindset.
You need a leader. You need a revolutionary.
They're like a
voice.
They're like a battered woman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like
they have no concept in any way of what the world is really like. Like, they have that, friendship.
They have an intranet.
The friendship thing. They have like a friendship museum.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And there's just a bunch of really weird trinkets.
It's all
in
propaganda.
There, that they think have been given to their great leader by all the leaders of the world.
Right.
So they think that all the other leaders of the world
love him.
Love and endear him. It, like, it's the weirdest.
Well,
they
have except
no
for
idea.
The U.S., though. They know the U.S. is evil.
Yeah.
Because they helped, you know, South Korea build a wall that's supposedly not there. The rest of the world doesn't know about.
Right.
It's a 5 meter tall wall that spans the border.
And we have a ship that they took in the 60s called the Pueblo, a U.S. ship. And it's legit. They took it and there was a conflict and they ended up with the ship. But it's like parked and kept up. And it's like in the bay in Pyongyang. And it's a tourist attraction.
They brag about
and everyone
it.
Shows up and they brag about
we
it. There's
took
like
this from America.
There's all these holes in the hull that they've circled in red to show like where the shells came in and killed people and all this. So they took, I want to say it was 83 crewmen and 6 officers were on the ship and they all got taken. And like, it's, and again, you see Shane like take a tour of it and he's and they force you to watch this propaganda video, et cetera. But then when he was leaving and he was on the gangplank, like leaving the ship, he was talking to the camera and you saw like genuine fear in his eyes because everybody else who was on the ship just got done listening to like an hour of U.S. is evil hate propaganda. Mm-hmm. And now there are these two guys from the U.S. And everyone was just like giving him fucking death glares.
It's like Brent in Europe with his Hurley shirt on. It's like exactly. Fucking everybody hates him.
It seemed like a good idea. I already had the
but,
shirt.
Yeah, no.
He's like wearing an American flag cape in Korea.
And I mean, obviously, I mean, the nature of technology and the spread of information is slowly eroding their control of information because people are coming in. People are smuggling in, you know, computer parts and USB drives and videos and news information. And if you lived close to a border, you're going to pick up radio chatter. You're going to get,
I think, I think the most disappointing thing would be like to see other people's hairstyles. Like, that would be like the most upsetting thing. Like, damn, there's other stuff we could do with our hair besides this fucking muffin top.
Yeah. You just drop the Justin Bieber pamphlets. All
yeah, exactly, yeah, exactly.
Like, we got the fucking cosmic muffin haircut. Right, there's other ones we can do.
No, it's a fucked up, like the laws and that country is just, I feel so sorry for everybody in that country. It's just fucking horrible.
So what do you know about the Pleasure Squad?
That's pretty crazy.
I don't know anything about the
Kim Jong Il had a pleasure squad, and now Kim Jong
Un. It was stopped in his death of 2011. Kim Jong Un stopped the pleasure squad,
and now Kim Jong Il stopped it. Kim Jong Un brought it back.
Oh, he brought it back.
That's the new kid, yeah. So he brought it back, and it's kind of creepy, man. They go through and they send state officials through schools, and like at age 12 and 14, even they recruit girls based off of just
looks like whatever the fucking whatever the fuck his name is wants.
Kim Jong-un. And so then they pick them based off of certain criteria that he's selected. Then another committee narrows that down to like 500, that narrows it down to 100, and then he narrows it down to the last 50. And then he has several generations. It's like 40 of them get chosen, 40 or 50 each year.
Yeah.
And then they go through generations of training in massage.
Yeah, dance. they send them to China to get trained in massage. And then they get trained in dance. And then there's other ones that do sexual pleasures. So there's three different groups.
So finally, when they break 20, they graduate to like, could be sex.
Yeah. Won't have sex with them before 20.
It's real nice of him. I think, you know, it's a nice guy. But they retire them at 25, but they marry them off to high end military generals and people of power so that they can keep a close eye on them.
And they can't, so
because they know outside
they can't
culture.
Talk. Yeah, yeah. They can't talk. Yeah. They can't.
They,
yeah.
They know that Kim Jong-un likes to pinky in his butt. So then they can't tell.
Well, no, they got
that's a state secret.
No. They wear the big black strap on and they just fucking rail that motherfucker. Yeah.
That's why I had Dennis Rodman.
He's the fuzzy pumper barbershop. His hair just gets bigger as they're fucking railing
him. I have no idea what that is.
The fuzzy pumper barbershop. I looked it up. I almost bid on one because we have to have one here in the studio.
What is
but they want like 50 or 60 bucks for them. Like they were like 40 bucks, like $20 shipping. It's a Play-Doh set.
Yeah.
And like you pump them up and the fucking hair grows out of the, like a chia pet.
Right.
With Play-Doh. We talked about that on the barbershop. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not that much. I got a Simon for this.
No, we could do it. Yeah.
Once my kids get tired of it, I was
no, there was a couple things. The old what was that card game that we were talking about? There was an old ass card game.
Oh, the one that
never made it out, really. It didn't get popular.
It was
popular.
The one that Edgar Casey did?
Yeah, Edgar Casey's card game. Yeah. You can buy that for like 10 bucks on eBay.
Right.
Some of our fans had it. Some of the fans
had
it.
Yeah, so like we need to get that. Yeah, we need to get the Fuzzy Pumper Barbershop.
We'll have our playroom down here.
Yeah,
it'll be right under the wall of whiskey.
Yeah, so the Pleasure Squad, which sounds like a decent movie. that is crazy. Like they literally pluck these girls from their homes, basically disassociate them from anybody they know, put them into these, you know, different training areas depending on what they're going to do in their age. And that's that. Like that's their life. And, wow. and they never go back to a normal life. So they do get pampered. From what I understand, they get pampered.
They're probably one of the few people in the nation who get to fucking eat.
Besides, scientists, I know you give scientists good homes, the military people, you know, like as far as that are developing weapons.
Right.
And the scientists actually get full internet access for the world, basically.
No, I guess
because
otherwise you wouldn't need
access for research.
You
would
have to, yeah.
So pretty interesting.
Yeah. No, it's pretty crazy. And I was... one thing that I looked at was I was trying to see if there were any conspiracy theories floating around about North Korea, and there were surprisingly few. There wasn't really anything that floated to the top.
Well, it's because there's no conspiracy.
Right. It's all fucking right there. But I did. There was an urban legend in Japan that became a conspiracy theory that said that North Koreans would abduct random people from small Japanese coastal towns.
Oh, wow.
Like the North Korean government would abduct Japanese people.
Yeah.
And this was like a conspiracy theory and an urban myth that went around. Everybody was like, of course they didn't. That's fucking stupid. Why would they do that? There's no reason to. And then in 2012,
3,000 people were abducted.
No, I'm sorry. 2002, Kim Jong Il in 2002 said, "No, we're doing that."
Like, no conspiracy here.
No.
You'll fucking come up missing, bitch.
That's legit. Yeah, we do that. Yeah. And like some of them have been given back to Japan, and it's why Japan fucking hates them.
I wonder why. I wonder what they did with them. Like they did fucking studies and shit on them, probably.
No idea.
Science experiments.
And the fucking set of balls on the guy, he's just like to the national community, international community. It's like, are you doing this? Oh, yeah. The Japanese guys. Yeah, we take them sometimes.
Yeah. The fucking Japs. Yeah.
Yeah, we take them.
The slant eyes bastards.
It's just like, fuck, are you serious? Yeah. So that was the one conspiracy theory I saw, but it was like not a conspiracy theory. Yeah. They're fucking doing it.
Yeah.
So I think I read that they've only returned five. They've returned five of the abducted Japanese coastal people back
to
Japan.
Crazy.
And it's like the main tension between Japan and North Korea.
I wonder if any of them land in the Pleasure Squad if they're females.
I don't know.
I remembered I have to run upstairs and grab the prize that we have to give away that I bought at the swap meet.
What is it?
This Sunday. I got to bring it down so you guys can see it. And
go. And I'll make up funny Korean names while you're gone.
Well, I've got a list of facts about Kim Jong Il, the previous great mm-hmm. leader, that aren't.
I consider
facts.
Him the best leader.
He was, yeah, he was the he had leader. The best style, yeah. like the whole fucking thing.
You
like
notice his they kids all, just a you fucking notice rip they off all of stand him. Like fucking. Douchebags, like yeah, their arms do. Are out, like they're fucking marshmallow men. Puffing. Yeah,
and everybody around, like every picture you see, every single person around him is dressed in a military uniform, and he's just like in a gray onesie,
little bomber jacket. Like, yeah, he's like a little bomber jacket on with glasses. Like, yeah. yeah,
but so I don't know if I want to read these because I don't want to step on Brent's toes because I know he had
no. The just list go of for things. It. I'm okay. down to nothing. So
okay, so these are things from we everything
studied,
that I read.
Our study power was good today.
These are things that Kim Jong Il told the Korean people propaganda wise about himself. These yep. are things in his official biography that the people get to read, etc. These are facts that the North Koreans think are real about Kim Jong Il. I'm not going to cover all of them, but these are the things that North Koreans think are facts. First off, they think he was born on a sacred mountain called Mount Baekdu. And at the moment of his birth, a new star illuminated the sky. The seasons changed from winter to spring temporarily, and a double rainbow appeared.
All the way across the sky.
All the way across the sky.
That's
double
the
rainbow.
Best video ever.
Full on double rainbow. The truth is he was fucking born in a Siberian village, not even in
he's
North Korea.
He's not even
Korea.
In Korea?
He's not, no, he's Siberian. And his
infiltrated.
Name, his name, I'm trying to find it. His name isn't Kim Jong Il. It was Yuri Ursinovich Kim.
What the fuck? He wasn't even fucking Korean.
No, but when his dad took over the country after the war, he renamed him a Korean name and said he was born.
Was he born
here.
From a Russian woman or something?
He was born in a Russian region. He was born in Siberia, so he had the name.
I wonder if that's why Russia helps them out. Like, I wonder if that's
no,
why
Russia
USSR.
Helped them out because we occupied South Korea and they did not want us to occupy one of their
North
borders.
Korea.
Sure, yeah, right,
and have a border. Yeah, same yeah. reason China took over true. when the Soviets collapsed. Yeah. yeah,
another fun fact. Everybody is told that Kim Jong Il's fashion and hairstyle and glasses took the world by storm, and everybody outside of North Korea dresses like him or wants to.
Oh, I do.
It's that fucking gray onesie, man. That's like you zip that bitch on, throw on your fucking Elvis glasses, you're set for the day, man.
Yeah. I'm talking double muffin top. Like that's like. I'm like, it looks like a warhead went off. You know what I mean? Like just, that's what the haircut.
Speaking of double muffin tops, his people are told that he invented a meal called double bread with meat.
Double meat with bread.
Double meat with bread.
Yeah. Fucking Big Mac. Shut up.
It's just a fucking hamburger.
He didn't want to admit that it was American.
Right. Yeah. So they think he invented the hamburger.
And double
he,
meat with
apparently
bread.
It's only given to educators and people who are trying to study.
I'm going
to
order
get
that
the,
tonight.
They get the special.
I challenge
double,
everyone
double
to
meat
go
with
one of my, that's one of my sex moves. You get double meat with bread. Like, motherfucker stole shit.
I just want to go to the drive-thru and do it. Just be like, I'll take a double,
I'll take
meat,
a double
bread,
meat with bread, please.
And fry.
Yeah, that's not going to come out good. Like, you go to McDonald's, half those motherfuckers can't read.
That'll just give you something.
His official records reportedly show that he learned to walk at 3 weeks and was talking at 8 weeks.
Sounds legit.
While
seeing
he
that there
was
double rainbows when he was
right,
born.
Right, that's right. While he was at Kim Il-sung University, conveniently named after his father, he wrote 1,500 books over a period of 3 years, along with the six operas that you referenced earlier. He did all that in 3 years. All of his operas, according to the biography, are, quote, better than any in the history of music. So
who says this?
The greatest official, song in the world.
The official biography about him that he had written by the state.
Did you read Every Night for
Fuck
Dinner?
This guy.
Every Night for Dinner. Yep. He had Unicorn on the Cob.
A couple more. Unicorn on the Cob.
It took Dave a little while. It did. That's a shirt.
Unicorn on the Cob.
It with said Kim Jong Il riding a unicorn with a corn cob horn.
The first time he picked up a golf club in 1994,
he made a hole in one.
He shot 38 under par at North Korea's only golf course with 11 holes in one.
That's because there's a motherfucker down there knocking the ball.
Yeah,
in.
There's right. a guy with a yeah. little tree hat yeah. on crawling across.
He's a tree hat in a green suit, like crawling across the ground. Army crawling on the ground. In the cup. Have you seen their military outfits? They didn't even have to change. They got a fucking flat bush top fucking crawling on the ground, knocking the ball in the
and
hole.
In the ultimate fucking drop the mic move, as soon as he was done with that game, he said, I'm retiring from the sport forever because no one can ever beat that score, including myself.
I think Tiger Woods did beat that.
I think Tiger Woods has
been. If you're going to lie and say probably he said to make it believable, he just went for 11 hole-in-ones. He didn't want to go all the way.
And when they still ran an official state website that wasn't for their own people, obviously, because they had no internet, but when North Korea had its own website before they took it down.
It looks like a 12-year-old middle school.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like the fucking Time Cube website. But it said that he didn't defecate or use toilets.
Just marking them off my list over here.
Is he a fucking woman?
He's so efficient.
Yeah, he's so efficient.
He's a machine.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He only eats what he needs. So yeah, those were, did you find any more fun facts?
Yeah, I have leftovers. There was a propaganda video in North Korea that depicted the Americans as a country that subsists of eating snow and lives in tents that were made by the kind government of North Korea, and that they all buy guns to kill each other. Like, there's a whole video that says that Americans only live by eating snowballs, and they
and we live in tents.
We all live in tents that were made by the North Korean government, and that we all just buy guns so we can kill each
North
other.
Oh, the North Koreans gave us tents.
They gave us
tents. So if we're so poor that we can only eat snowballs and we have to rely on other people's tents, how did we afford to buy guns?
Same way that they have a nuclear weapon system and can't eat. Okay. Like priorities, I guess.
Yeah, because there ain't no fucking snow here.
Because allegedly they have 16 nuclear bombs. That's the current UN estimation, is they have 16 low yield nuclear bombs.
I read a couple other crazy things. It's illegal to watch TV, and that in a 2-year period, 130 people were executed for watching TV other than the state sanctioned propaganda.
Jesus.
They publicly executed 130 people for watching TV.
Well, because if you were living in Pyongyang, you're going to pick up signals from South Korea. I mean, you're going to get TV if you want to watch it.
There's supposedly religion. Yeah, there's supposed to be freedom of religion, but they executed publicly 80 Christians. Alcohol is only permitted on certain days. However, apparently I read marijuana is legal and not even considered a drug and popular amongst young soldiers.
Well, I fucking bet it is.
That's crazy, though. Like, you can't have alcohol. I mean, it's not that crazy. Actually, it's kind of the way it should be, I guess.
Actually, alcohol is poison. Technically.
Driving is illegal. Oh, there's one car per 1,000 Koreans. And that's why when that guy was going around on Vice, there's no one. It's like, where is everyone? Are they all just wearing a soldier suit at the border?
Right.
Like, no, the documentary I watched, there was a lot of people. They were all walking, though.
No, I have seen video footage of like sort of downtown Pyongyang, and it is kind of a bustling.
Yeah, Pyongyang is like the main city where they're at.
It's still very restricted and shitty and whatever, but there's just tons of people on bikes, people walking around. I mean, there's still commerce. They have to run.
They only took them to the nice areas, though. There was nice areas. They didn't let them go and wander yonder.
Well, they probably would have taken them. They probably would be taking people to areas where there are no other people because they don't want spillover.
No, they were actually talking.
Oh, they were allowed to talk.
They were allowed to talk, but the guide picked out the person to talk.
Ah, okay.
So they would go into a store. There were people there buying things, and they even filmed them. Like, they were allowed to film in the store buying things, and they would talk to an associate, you know, somebody who worked there. And it would just say worker, you know, of whoever was there. They talked to the farm owner. You know, they talked to specific people. Their speeches didn't sound scripted, but they sounded bullshit. So what are you doing?
Nothing.
Why are you writing shit about me?
I have to tell Dave something without interrupting the show, but you never let that happen. It's not about you.
Fucking lies, because like nothing. I didn't get shown the paper.
Because you'll fucking read it on the show, and I have to do something in a minute. That's why. I'll show you the paper after the show.
Let me see.
Over,
I won't read it.
Promise you won't read it.
I won't read it. Go.
Don't read the fucker. Really, don't read it. All right.
Well, no, so
the
final thing that I took from all the research that I saw, and I think this did come from the Vice video, even though I talked shit about his AC/DC guitar music, is in spite of everything, it's like he goes, you know, Shane Smith goes to this tea shop on a abandoned highway and sits with this girl who's trying to sell tea. And like, she's like, she plays pool with him. and they're laughing and she's playing fucking ping pong. Like they go do karaoke with like his guard slash tour guide. And like, they've been complete fucking stone faced, like staring daggers at him the whole time. But then he bought him like 3 bottles of blueberry wine,
six bottles.
So they all started drinking and then he's like laughing and doing, and it's like, you see behind, like you just see these fucking people, like real people living in the worst fucking society. And they just, I mean, it was fucking heartbreaking. It's like, yeah, this woman can't ever fucking do anything except stand in an empty fucking tea shop because
and wait for one guy.
And if she ever hints at the fact that she doesn't like what's happening, she's going to get fucking shot. I mean, and her daughter's going to have to watch.
So bad. I mean, every time a customer comes in, Brent gets mad.
So. Brad's point of view is awesome. Always.
Well, I'm just saying, you could live in a shithole in India. On the street, you know, in a mud hut.
Always India with us. In the gutters of India, yeah. Well, but we always pick that.
I promise you the gutters in North Korea are probably worse than the gutters in India.
They're clean in North Korea, though.
At least where the cameras go. At least in Pyongyang.
Yeah, I mean, as far as...
There's no people to even dirty them up. They're not allowed to leave the house.
I don't know, man.
With what food would they litter? They won't even now have food to litter with.
So like I said, at the end of the day, I liked Vladimir Putin, even though he's a dastardly evil guy.
You know what, though?
But these three motherfuckers.
Putin's a fucking, he's a black belt. He fucking wrestles bears. He's just a badass.
He might have pulled some black belt. Like, guy, he might have got promoted a little early. I wonder about that black belt. He was like, you whatever, give me the black belt.
Probably.
Yeah.
But still, at least he went at it.
With Putin, I look at him and I'm like, this is a fucking
the arm bar for
this
sure.
This is a smart motherfucker who is smooth as shit and runs this country exactly how he wants it run.
Yeah.
I look at these three fucking ass clowns. They're like, you know, like Kim Jong Il, that motherfucker can't tie his own shoes, much less run a fucking country. Like, I promise you, his staff is making all the calls and this motherfucker is just watching porn and eating lobster and hanging out with Dennis Rodman.
That's what I said.
And
the interview.
Piece of shit. It's like
exactly the interview.
Oh, I never.
You never saw the interview?
I fucking hate
it. Oh, wow. There's a guy that parachuted 10,000 copies of the interview from into North Korea.
Oh, wow. With like a t-shirt cannon?
10,000 DVDs.
Meanwhile,
9,000 people were assassinated by the government for having the DVDs.
No, they banned the movie.
That they sucked the soul out of the guys to kill him?
Right.
Well, Kim's wife's name is Resolju.
What?
Resolju.
I don't get it.
Resolju. Like he gave the soul to you. Resolju.
I think that's her name.
That's her name.
There's silence in many cars on many phones.
That's my Korean accent. Resolju.
You're braver than me. I'd be funnier if I tried more. But
who cares?
Sometimes I don't care.
You got something to say to me? Fucking write it on Twitter, dude. Passerby, you cocksucker. Fuck your mom.
You want to give away a weird ass fucking prize I found at the swap meet?
Yes. So you posted this.
Yeah. No one knows what it is, though. I don't follow you guys. A vague picture.
I'm fucking famous on my own.
You took a vague picture and you posted it and told people.
I'm going to try to start doing this because I haven't been able to go to the swap meet because we record on Sunday and I really like going looking for crazy junk. And so I'm going to give it to Brad so he can see what the fuck this weird thing is I found. So I'm going to try to go before the podcast and go grab a weird fucking prize and bring it to the podcast and give it away to someone every week.
This is such a bad idea.
No, this is really cool.
I don't think our fans deserve anything. They're not even posting anything online.
No, we got today. We had like 27 or 28 people respond with random numbers between 1 and 100, and somebody picked the right number and reposted our post. So to them goes this prize that I'm going to hand to Brad, and I'm going to explain it. He's going to open this and be like, "What the fuck is this weird ass thing right here?"
And I hope you have a better time figuring out what it is than I did because I had no fucking idea what it is when I figured it out.
It's got a Korean name, fucking Chambong.
Yeah, it's very appropriate, I guess.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah. It says Chambong because it's awesome. There's a picture of an elephant showering itself with what looks to be a champagne trunk.
What the fuck is this?
I wish you could have seen his face.
This is a real product. It's made in America.
Wait a minute.
I looked it up. Don't break it, whatever you do.
What do you do with it?
There's instructions on the back.
It's so a champagne.
We will post pictures before I give it away. So, you know, Brad put it close to his wiener. He's wearing pants, so you guys know.
It's the equivalent of a beer bong, but for champagne.
And it looks like a crack pipe.
And it does look like a giant crack pipe.
And it's like a crack pipe for ogres.
So you're supposed to pour champagne in it and slam champagne. You know, like all the kids do, buying high-end bottles of champagne and slamming it.
It's like a shotgun champagne.
They should have called it slampagne.
They should have called it Slam Pain.
Yeah, that'd have been better than Shambong.
Shambong. Yeah. Shambong. I get it now. Fucking stupid.
But it's a horrible fucking idea. Like,
why would you even own one of these?
Right. What I like, know. I'm going to go buy a $300 bottle of fucking Moet and I'm going to slam it in my Shambong.
It's wow. Very, you can't set it down once you're holding it.
It's pretty.
You can't tip it over. You're like prisoner to it once you're holding it.
Tilt the Shambong at an angle until it makes a V like shape. It doesn't say, it says shape.
Okay.
Step two, pour slowly and do not overfill it. Leave 1 inch empty on both ends. Step three. Whoa, you take it on the small end.
Yeah, what'd you think?
You drink it out of the big glass?
No.
Why would there be a hole? Yeah, it's like a champagne pipe.
Well, I just thought it was an air hole, so it'd fucking come through. Okay. Like, put your mouth over the stem and slowly lift. Drink until empty.
We might have to do some whiskey in here and then wash it and give it to the
fucking
winners.
Shotgun. Yeah. Oh my God.
There's a moonshine in it.
It's a champagne shotgun.
That'd be a fucking moon bong.
Yeah. And of course, if you were going to make a champagne shotgun, your logo would be an elephant.
Why is the elephant dumping itself? I don't know.
Its trunk is the champagne.
I really don't agree.
Let's just agree that the idea was fucking weird, as is the marketing.
It looks very brand.
The whole thing
is
fucking
weird.
It looks
very fucking foul.
So are we ready to see who gets this amazing thing?
Who guessed the number?
Lab Podcast, guest number 28, which is on the dot, and they shared it, so they qualify.
So they're getting a shout out, Lab Podcast. Actually, they like and comment on a bunch of our stuff.
I'm gonna spend more on shipping than I did on the Shambong. I'm sure. I don't know where
the fucking Shambong, and I bet you they'll use it.
My luck, they're in Europe. Yeah, we need some.
No, I think they're somewhere stupid like Florida.
No, I think they're in Chicago.
Are they Chicago?
I think they're in Chicago.
Yeah, somewhere.
All right, we'll have some champagne.
If they're on the south side, they're cool. If they're fucking Cubs fans, you guys can fuck off.
They probably are.
I have no preference on baseball. I couldn't name 10 teams, so you're not offending me in any way.
Try.
Fucking Cubs?
You cocksucker.
Dodgers?
That's not even... Those two aren't even teams.
Are they not? They are too. Touchdown, is that an answer?
So Lab Podcast, you won the Shambong. Yes. It will be heading your way. And please, when you get it, give us a shout out and let us know how it works.
The Shambong is so fucking horrible. It's great.
I can't wait to see what I find next week.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah. So I really want to fucking slam whiskey out of it, but I haven't eaten anything all day.
So if you're going to eat something, eat it with a delicious El Yucateco hot sauce.
Yep.
We thank them and eat them and are happy with them. Thank you, El Yucateco.
Yep.
You want to shout out our other folks.
Yep. And when you get it on your mouth, you can wipe it off with your Sofa King podcast shirt made by Dark Side Graphics.
That's correct.
And Punky Brewster.
That's right.
Keep going. You're doing good.
Am I? Okay. And then you can wear, if you're really feeling froggy, you can put wrap your mouse pad around your dick that's made by Digital Creations. Use rubber bands and it'll look bigger. Or you could put it in your vagina and it'll make a tunnel like the Lincoln Tunnel. I don't know what you could do with that. You could probably find something to do with it. But they make other things like coffee mugs that you can stick in your butt. I don't know.
Man, we had a prospective sponsor. We have a sponsor considering us. And we might not get that one.
Anyway, they make all of our great items, mouse pad, keychains. You can open your Dos Equis bottles with to drink.
And I do.
Not yet. I'm not done yet.
Brent's goddamn bad shoulder has infected all of us. So now we all have bad muscles, but I was able to go to Salt 7 and take a float, and it was pretty fantastic, and it did help significantly. And as always, if you're in the Bakersfield area, check them out. Salt 7. It's SALT and then the number 7 EVEN, or just Google Salt 7 plus Bakersfield and it'll pop up, but go get a float. It's awesome. It's relaxing. And this time I posted it on Facebook. I did hit there were moments where I was laying there thinking, I don't know if I'm awake or I'm asleep. Which is a very weird thing to be thinking.
Yeah.
And I thought, cause I, I had thought I signed up for an hour, which I did. And I was in there so long, I was like, motherfucker, like they signed me up for 2 hours. Cause I've been in here for probably close to 2 hours. I know what an hour feels like. And this is way the fuck past an hour. Nope. It was an hour. Like it was the first, I couldn't, like, I really lost track of my body. I lost track of time. I couldn't tell if I was awake or not.
That's good.
I fully had like the weird deep, Salt 7 experience. It was awesome.
I'm with the fans on this one. I don't know where the fuck you guys get the time to study and float.
What do you mean?
I don't know. You guys go float and shit. Like, I don't know. I float a lot because
I'm
in
pain and it actually makes me feel better.
I wish I could. Yeah. Like, fuck. I want to.
We have to skip jiu-jitsu.
But I'm with the fans. Saturday. I'm with the fans. Like, how do you guys, where do you guys, yeah. How do you study? How do you guys find time to study?
Part of the studying is that when I do have like required office hours every week at work and no students ever come in to visit any professor. So I do get to study at a school intended to study. So I do get that advantage. Like while I'm at work, I get to study.
I did it in the floor at work.
I don't want to.
Because my back hurt.
You should take your phone in and float and then study while you float.
I could.
You're gonna drop your phone.
That'll work very well. It'll be both effective studying and floating.
I don't know. That'd be kind of weird.
No, there's actually like the competitor has some crazy screen thing in his where he's trying to do like super learning or something because you have no distractions. So you would hyper learn. But I don't know about that. That sounds a little gimmicky.
Sounds stupid. Yeah.
No, thanks. If I'm going to hyper learn, I'll do it in the whack and shit.
The Matrix. whack and hut.
I'm sending Brent over there to suck the soul out of him.
I'll do sleep osmosis like Edgar Cayce if I want fancy learning. Yeah.
Anyway, so if you want to find out more about North Korea, you can look it up yourself because we're done.
And thank you, Chris Willis, again for the moonshine.
Yeah, that was good. It was good.
What you talking about?
God damn it.
I don't know if our crowd gets that. I get that.
I'm
I don't
sure. give a fuck. Everybody fucking knows
I
that.
I don't give a fuck.
You don't know that?
I know that. I'm an old man with a broken back.
Yeah, so is our audience. They're all fucking old. None of them like me, so I know they're all fucking old people.
I did need to give two people a shout out.
That they're fucking old people.
Three people a shout out.
Go.
Forgot. Mike St. John, he actually bought a t-shirt from us this week, pre-website market store. He was so insistent. He contacted me, called me, and paid over the phone via credit card.
I know there's somebody on our messenger that really wants merchandise.
I know. I'll hit him up. We're trying to get our web store up. I mean, hit us up. I'll make it happen. You can call my shop, and we'll just pay with credit card over the phone or something. We don't have it set up. Mixed Feelings Podcast.
661 Eat Balls.
That is the number.
That is.
No, hit me up on Messenger, and I'll tell you the number if you need it. I'm not trying to get super bombarded by phone calls at work.
Yes, it is a real business.
I'm trying to fix
some stuff. Don't fuck with us.
But Mike St. John, actually really nice guy. I talked to him for like 10 minutes on the phone. Mixed Feelings Podcast. I actually talked to Cassie on the phone about some marketing and podcast strategies and tricks. We traded some secrets. And Noah,
what are you saying that for?
Noah the Nightmare, because I like their podcast and I'm giving them a shout out to our audience so that they can write our coattails and maybe get some listeners.
You didn't have to sell that.
I did now because you called me out.
Sell that.
I'm going to try to make up a different excuse on the spot.
You want
to
fight again?
No.
You want to fight again?
Nobody know who does want to fight? Noah the Nightmare Wells. My next shout out, he's a little MMA guy that's like, I don't know, he looks like he's 18, but he claims that if we still have a show in 15 years that he's going to come on the show because he's going to be the current UFC champion. So I promised I'd give him a shout out because he likes us a whole lot. So there you go.
All right.
Awesome. Well, good luck to you on your road to UFC McConor Gregormanship.
I'm backing him.
There you go.
And don't die like they did, like Ronda Rousey and Conor McGregor.
Let's see how awkward Brad can go out.
I can keep going.
Let's do it.
I'll just sit here and look at the wall.
Someone's sitting in their driveway right now like, damn, is this shit over?
Yeah, no, it's still going. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll just keep going like this. Mm-hmm. And what are you doing over there? Why are you playing with that bottle? Anyway, so do we thank the sponsors? To thank El Yucateco?
We already did that.
Did we? Yep.
Dark Side Graphics, Monkey Brewster.
Yeah.
Digital Creation.
Oh, you can go to our website, sofakingpodcast.com. And actually, I did want to plug this. This is serious. Leave some comments on our website. I know people comment online, social media and stuff. But if you can, I try and get back to you or Dave or somebody, one of the other guys here, Dave or whoever the other guy is. we try and get on there and comment back to you. I know some people ask about music and, you know, the songs that I put on the ending tracks or the beginning of certain episodes. So if you have any questions, hit us up on there.
If you got pictures of hot sauce, post them. If we sent you stickers. Make sure you post them.
Yep.
If you haven't given us a review on iTunes and it's going to be a 5-star review, go ahead and leave that 5-star review.
Yeah. And if it's anything less than 5 stars, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Take a day off. Just do something else. Go play video games.
Yep. Yep. Go suck the soul out of somebody.
Go watch Different Strokes on YouTube.
And don't be a retard.
S팀 swag 흡수해 먹을 거야 마루도 뉴욕 갔다 왔으니 이젠 파리로 상하이로 가브릇 입고 가면 저기 부 두더가리로 와가리를 다도 아니면 찢어버리게네 빨간 마스크 돼줄래 우리 할로윈에 파티해 저녁 귀신과 얼질 노가로 내게 따뜻하고 눈물이 고이지 오십에 나는 다 갖고 싶지 심지어 저녁 귀신 욕망이 쩔어 아니라서 크리스틴 생각하면 오상 QMBC Dope, dope, call, let a mission want a pistol in my pocket, suck it, you can call a cop. 덕소 경찰 아틴 착해, 그리고 이걸 구해서 난 헤이러들의 탕. Show me the money, rapper 탕. 혁명가의 운명 타고 난 내 아카 중근 난 자꾸만 나지. 불협함이 분명 나는 수려한 채 대응감을 가지는데 왜 도대체 요것과는 안 맞는지 몰라 저리 싫음. 거길 먹고. 여긴 나의 좌우명 늙은 래퍼 유튜버, boy. 너무 달렸어, 이제 안 단테. 이게 나온 지면 시간 많네. 해냈지 해냈지 뒤를 보니 시체들이 막 난자를 비우지를 않아 마치 와이 사장 형과 같은 타입 난 그저 부지런할 뿐 속물 타입 I ain't my what you know about me about me about me about me about me it ain't my what you know about me 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 새끼들아 인정해라 나는 패가 안할 적소 옆옆 메가 트리움으로 변화시킬 아이라는 걸 알잖아 이 아이야 나의 작은 눈 안에 파이어 나의 보컬 수 있는 건 달러 we are one 나의 보컬 수 있는 건 달러 we are one 나의 보컬 수 있는 건 달러 we are one 아마 나의 전생은 근육질의 탐지견 왜냐하면 코어 좋아 잘 맞고 잘 지켜 work work 난 느껴 조만간에 일라 몇 년 후엔 구창모가 밀라 인형되어 싫은 댓글 도프갱어 Mr. Vista thank you for this banger 난 자리 비우지를 않아 마치 와이 사장 형과 같은 타입 난 그저 부지런할 뿐 속물 타입 I ain't my what you know about me about me about me about me about me it ain't my what you know about me 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 about me